It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cavs win! Audio courtesy of the FanDuel Sports Network. Bronny came in and played. There was like 5 minutes left, and I'm like, J.J. Redick better put him in. If he gives... J.J. Redick is sensitive, so I'm like, okay, everybody's going to call him out, and then he's going to get all mad and sensitive about it. And then he came in, and Bronny came in, and there was a nice ovation for him, and then he hit his first shot in the NBA, and then there was a really nice ovation for him. It was nice. That was a nice thing. And the Cavs are 5-0. You got everything you wanted to get if you were at the Cavs
awesome.
Game last night. The Cavs wanted a blowout. They're 5-0 for the third time ever in franchise history, which is, it's crazy. They've actually done it twice now without LeBron. They did it once in 76, and then they did it here, and then they did it in 2016-17 with LeBron, which is incredible. You got to see LeBron James maybe for the last time ever, or maybe there's two more times or one more time. I'm not sure. And you got to see his son, and his son scored his first NBA points. What a great night at the arena. And I'm sure they had a tribute. I think they probably had a tribute to LeBron and Bronny. I liked what the Cavs did. The Lakers noticed in their locker room, the welcome home
yeah.
and things like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
And they also, Andrew Siciliano pointed this out with us. He was at the game last night. They had a 2-minute tribute to Jim Donovan, which was very, very nice. Very nice. On the big Jumbotron, and they had the touchdown calls with Nick Chubb and everything. It was very, very nice. What a great night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Yeah, because you imagine there's, for a bunch of people there, we saw the ticket prices going into last night. You imagine that there were a bunch of fans there that will be the last time that they will get a chance to see LeBron live. And what a perfect scenario. Like, you see LeBron, you get to see his kids score in garbage time, and the game was an annihilation. And it was a celebration of what the Cavs are looking to accomplish this year. And I know it's not a playoff win. It's not anything like that. But they have kind of picked up where regular season-wise, where they left off with having this success, this camaraderie, this stability. Even though there's a new head coach, that core four, like everything the Cavs wanted to project at the end of the year, like, we're not trading anybody. We're not moving on. And you'll see why. You just have to wait a year. Well, here we are. We're in that next year, and right now it's all looking great.
Keith caught us laughing before the show on the thing. Sorry, that took my attention away. I got to throw. Well, I went to click on the box score real quick, and then it took me away. I did notice. Now, I don't mean to sound disrespectful. It was odd to see Bronny out there eventually. I'm like, boy, he's kind of small in comparison to these other, like Tristan Thompson's 14 years in the league. Be careful out there. You got grown-ups out there, man. Like, not like they do. I didn't think they'd take any liberties, obviously, or anything like that. I'm just like, man, he just looks small compared to these guys. Did you notice the same thing? Or am I, like, he's out there with, I mean, yeah, they're end of the bench guys that he's out there with. I understand that, but it's like, still, like, Yeah, these are vets here that are out there with him. Like, they're legit players in the NBA, even though they're end of the bench.
Yeah, and you
and
see...
I'm going, boy, be careful out there. Be careful, young man.
You see young players coming to the league all the time.
They're thinner. They're
too
a little
frail.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you're like, man, they got to put on a ton. We said that about Evan Mobley. Got to put on a ton of weight.
Yeah.
Their physique, whatever. But you can say what you're really trying to say. You're not really talking about the way he looked next to those guys. You were looking for the nicest way possible to say he looks like he didn't belong out there.
No, physically, I thought he was small. I just thought he was small. I didn't think he played terribly. I mean, 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes of garbage time.
So I have.
What am I going to sit there and say that he's a terrible basketball? I don't know if he's a terrible basketball player.
I have people in my life that think this is.
I said
is,
what I said.
They think this is the worst thing ever.
Whatever.
They think him getting. ESPN, this was the headline. It wasn't about the blowout win.
It's October 31st.
It wasn't about It was about Bronny getting his 2 points. And they were mortified of that. I sent a tweet about it saying how cool this had to be for LeBron. I mean, forget about, you know, Bronny. Obviously, it's amazing to score. He probably at times has doubted whether or not he'd ever get that opportunity or whatever. And now he has points. Like, that's it. And he'll go to the G League, and we'll see if he ever develops enough to actually get a legitimate roster spot in the NBA.
LeBron covered his face. I don't know if he was wiping his eyes.
He's crying.
Or
yeah.
He was emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Has that been confirmed that he was emotional in that moment?
People that were there said he was definitely crying. The game was out of hand at that point, whatever. So the whole fourth quarter was basically garbage time. And I'm watching it going, when is he getting in? Like, he probably should get in. And finally, you know, he got his number called. The fans in attendance. I said that was a very savvy Hoops crowd last night.
Ooh, savvy.
Because you could tell, like, he's not getting chance anywhere else, right? Except maybe Los Angeles, maybe.
Not chance. I don't think he's getting chance. They were chanting for Bronny last night.
Well, he played college basketball out there. So that's the only reason I said maybe that would be the place. But it was very cool last night. You could pick it up on the TV.
Well, here's LeBron.
He's better than I would have been in that situation. 20,000 fans screaming my name to get in the game and wanting me to be in the game. The roles reversed. I don't know if I would have been able to handle it. So just commend him on, you know, his composure, the way he approaches, you know, not only the game, but just approach, you know, life in general. And to see him get his first NBA basket in this arena where he grew up not too far away from here, that's an unbelievable moment. Unbelievable moment for him, for our family. It's just pretty cool to be a part of it.
That's very nice. I heard the chance. I thought it was great. I was glad when he got in. I was like, you got to get this. You better get him in. I figured they'd get him in, but there's like 5 minutes left to go, and it's a 20-something point game. I'm like, you better be putting him in here. Like, if you don't put him in, like, I would want LeBron to go, if you're not going to put him in, I'm going to put him in. I'm in charge of this team anyway, and we all know it, so I'm putting the boy in. Like, you got to do that. You got to give the fans what they wanted to see because, I mean, the place was still packed. They wanted to see him get on the floor.
Well, and also, surreal moment for anybody that was with LeBron in those early years especially. They brought him to a bunch of games.
Yeah.
I had a picture. I posted it last night from Facebook. When 2007. It was October 2007. We had really good seats thanks to thanks to the sister. Kenny, you say not a nice person. Got me some nice seats way back in the day.
I don't say she's not a nice person anymore.
That's true.
I think that has changed. There's other people in your family I think aren't nice.
Well, I'll never forget that same guy we saw on the floor yesterday came over by us, was talking to us, hanging out. He was 3 years old.
Mm.
That's what was surreal to me because it took me right back to 2007 when I remember seeing him at those games. And then all of a sudden now I'm watching him on TV playing basketball, and totally different discussion whether he should be there, how much of this is earned, how legitimate this is, the Nepo baby stuff, which has always been in the NBA and always been in professional sports. I don't know how people think this is the first instance of this.
What are you trying to say?
There's plenty of guys that were undeserving that got opportunities. But I thought just from that standpoint, that was cool. That was cool to see him grow up, and all these years later, he's playing, and he scored. And he needed to score because if he didn't score in this game, I didn't know when it was ever going to happen.
He did. He got it over Jalen Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Was that okay to you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, Cavs are 5-0. Are they a serious contender in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I don't think they're.
I did not notice how many threes the Celtics took yesterday.
The Celtics lost, so the Cavs are the only undefeated team left in the Eastern Conference.
That is unbelievable. They took 57 threes. Jason Tatum took 18 last night.
And what Oklahoma City did win, so still there are two teams left that are unbeaten right now in the NBA. And the Cavaliers have come out. You'd never know. The kids, watch what I say here. You'd never know there was a coaching change by the fact that this team looks like they like. Remember last year they went 17-1. Like people forget this. They're like they were pretty spectacular last year, and that was with injuries. So they've been a good regular season team, and you wondered if a new coach would throw some of that into disarray for long term gain, like short term pain for long term gain. There's been no short term pain. They have picked up like nothing is different in that regard. Yes, their minutes are different. The Evan Mobley is more aggressive. Darius Garland obviously had that great game at Madison Square Garden. He was in foul trouble last night. Didn't matter. They were able to just kick ass the entire time. Dean Wade just being out there, even when he's not hitting threes, he's defensively. Just see what he did with Brunson. You know, in New York, like Brunson couldn't get around him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, they've got all the good stuff from last year, and now they've added. Now, like, Okoro is like a 10th or 11th man. So, like, the problem that we had last year has been flushed to the bottom. So they kept all the good stuff, and now they're adding to it as best they can with the roster limitations. Like, they didn't make any big trades.
No.
But remember, Ty Jerome was a no-go all of last year. He is now in the lineup, and he's been very, very effective. They didn't have that last year. A healthy Dean Wade.
If he could stay healthy, he'd be a real help to us.
Yeah.
If he could just stay healthy, for the love of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then this whole time, you got Donovan Mitchell just kind of picking and choosing when he wants to take over. He knows he could take over at any time, but Donovan Mitchell has the bigger picture at play here. Doesn't want to get burned out before the playoffs. We don't need him limping, quite literally limping into the playoffs like last year. And we already know what Donovan can do. Like, let's see what these other guys can go out. And then you have Jared Allen, subject of every trade rumor known to mankind, going out there and completely dominating both ends of the floor.
Yeah, it was an excellent time out there last night. I mean,
they didn't even need Evan Mobley. He could have sat he got all his points in the fourth quarter. They didn't even need him. He got in foul trouble early. I think he had 9 minutes going into the fourth quarter. They didn't even need him.
Are the Dodgers going to have to wait until they play the Celtics?
Well, no, the doubters are just going to have to go away in the regular season. Because the regular season, they're going to be terrific.
So they're just going to wait until the postseason?
The way this is going, and depending on how badly the Celtics even want it, you can't rule out the Cavs like having the best record in the Eastern Conference. They're going to be good all year. Why wouldn't they be good?
Here's J.J. Redick on how the Cavs played.
They're a really good basketball team. They spread you out, and they have guys with some pop with Garland and Mitchell and certainly LeVert and Ty Jerome played great. And I think we just kind of got punched in the mouth a little bit. But, you know, when you play good teams, you can't afford a lot of mistakes. We made a lot of mistakes. We got down early and just couldn't recover.
What do you think of him as a head coach so far?
He's been really good. He's been really good for them.
It's a little bit...
It's so early.
It's a little bit jarring to see him as a head coach still in the NBA. It's a little surreal. I gotta get used to it a little bit. Like, there's guys who come from different backgrounds as head coaches in the NBA. Like, guys leave the booth and go immediately to being a head coach and things like that. It's still a little bit jarring to see J.J. Redick, who was, you know, hosting the podcast with LeBron and all the stuff and doing all the media stuff, and now he's just a head coach in the NBA. And it's like you are in charge of making decisions. What a wild league it is. Like, I know that one team in the NFL tried something like that with a former player and it ended up horrendous, but it's still a little bit surreal to see him as a head coach in the league, even with a team like the Lakers and with LeBron
What he's done, he's balanced just all the craziness around LeBron and his son, and it doesn't seem to be any kind of a distraction to them. And I know they've lost now two in a row, but... You know, they will go with as healthy as LeBron can be. LeBron can't put together. It's going to be hard for LeBron to be. Like, he was very dominant, I think, in their third game of the year. He had that huge fourth quarter, and he scored over 30 points. But he can't follow it up with another one of those. His body's just not going to allow it. And you saw him last night. He couldn't really get by Evan Mobley. He couldn't really get by Jared Allen. Like, he had Darius on him at one point, and he just kind of passed the ball out. Like that, if it were a playoff game, he's backing Darius down and he's getting a layup.
Every day's a referendum. Evan taking the step, Last night, 25 and 19
last night,
minutes.
Last night, I mean, he just it was all his points came in garbage time. So he was picking on poor Austin Reeves and some guys that would never really guard him. So I don't know. Last night, just defensively though, I think overall, Cavs came out and played like it was a playoff game, and I think the Lakers were not expecting that. The Lakers got hit in the mouth, like their head coach said, and they packed it in. They did not have any answers. Well, they were throwing the basketball around.
Next time they play is, I think, isn't LeBron's birthday December
31st?
Is it the 31st or the 30th?
How many days are in December?
There's 31.
Help me out.
They play it's the 30th.
They play each other on New Year's Eve. So the day after LeBron's birthday, they play in L.A. out there on the West Coast swing. So it probably might be a different story with how LeBron treats that basketball game.
It all depends. Right, yeah, it all depends on them, yeah. on being able to keep, like, Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Davis was, I mean, he had two plays yesterday where he's like, nah, you guys can go and score on us. I'm just going to sit here and sulk and try to get calls. And, you know, you get that. But Davis has been really good this year. Last night, Davis, I don't think he liked the fact that the Cavs took that game very seriously from the moment that ball was tipped.
Now, the Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
A comedy of errors led to a World Series champion being crowned. But before we get to that, we start out with your dominant Cleveland Cavaliers. They get off to the 5-0 start, 134-110. They dropped 42 points in the first quarter, really never looked back from there. It was sensational. In fact, they went on a 30-8 run. They were forcing turnovers. They were getting out in transition. It's exactly the way that Kenny Atkinson, new head coach of the Cavs, wants his team to play.
Donovan and Darius really pushed the pace. Obviously, Donovan being super aggressive right from the get-go, pull-up threes. And when he gets going like that, that started the whole push. And then, again, turning them over and getting some easy buckets really helped our fast start.
You know, people are noticing around the league this hot start from the Cavs, and you know, Kenny Atkinson's getting a lot of credit early. I also got to give the players some credit. I got to give the players credit. I know last night was weird because they had guys in foul trouble really early, and it didn't seem to matter at all. Like Evan Mobley, limited minutes. Darius Garland got three really quick fouls. And so wasn't necessarily last night for them. But just overall, how do you feel about that? That like Atkinson's getting all the credit when I think maybe Evan Mobley just put a lot of work into his game, and it's year four. And normally that's a time when you start to exert your will if you're truly a really good player in the league.
Well, I think people are looking for some type of change, and I think that they feel that that's the big change that happened. That the third quarter offense has been better in five games. It's a small sample size, but the third quarter offense and moving the ball just not as lackadaisical. They would let leads dwindle in the third quarter or be overtaken in the third last year or over the last few years. I think that that's different. I think that there's a lot of people saying, well, the sets are different. You're like, Kenny, they run six sets in the NBA. So maybe we are overdoing it a little bit. We're in a honeymoon phase with Kenny Atkinson.
I think there's a bigger cultural thing. Like Bickerstaff, the focus was on defense. And the good news is, They have picked up where they left off there. Like, they haven't had the drop off there. That was one thing I wondered with them looking to get out and run so much. I thought, well, naturally your defense is going to suffer. It hasn't at all. So the building blocks of what was there before, they maintained, and then they added to it because clearly there is more of a push. Now, I think that people aren't going to like this.
Oh.
I think the Max Strus injury has helped the team. Not because I think Max Strus is garbage and it'll be better that Max Strus is going to be healthy and that'll be another addition. Owen's glaring at me. Here's what
I
mean.
Here comes the...
It forced their hand to
enemy
put...
Enemy number one to Tone.
It forced their hand to put a better 3-and-D option on the floor who knows his role. Like, Max Strus, to me, he shoots too much. He takes way too many shots, and he's never been
He wears the NBA uniform too much, so...
There's never been... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep-and-switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And, I mean, look at his numbers in the NBA. I've often said, like, he has the shot selection of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, and he has the shot making of Max Strus. It's two different things. Now, he adds the gravity and all that stuff. But, listen, with him out of the game, Dean Wade is in there starting, and he's able to guard multiple positions, and he's still hitting threes and can hit threes. And can actually hit threes at a higher rate, and he's not going to take guys out of rhythm.
Dean Wade may naturally be the better player. I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but Dean Wade is also the guy who spends most of his time in the infirmary.
Right.
So, like Max Strus, like this is kind of against the norm that he's got that injured ankle that happened in the preseason. But yeah, you take your good with the bad with the Max.
And then they'll
Max
get Max Strus. What I'm saying is, it's not that I don't want to see Max Strus anymore. Maybe Max Strus, they can normalize stuff. I think way too much.
So you believe in the first, let's be honest, you believe in the first month, Dean Wade should establish himself as the option, and then Max Strus should come off the bench.
I think that could be a better option for the Cavs in the big picture.
Fair enough. I'm not going to rip you yet.
Dean Wade can guard more guys in the league. Like, if they go up against the Celtics, Max Strus can't guard Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Just because of his length?
Yeah, Dean Wade has a shot. I think that is something that I don't see anybody talking about. I think they kind of fell into this. I don't think there's any chance they would have done this otherwise. And maybe Max Strus can be in more of a role that I think he should be in. I'm not saying that at all. His three-point shooting can help, he's a streak shooter. But when he's starting and playing a ton of minutes, you're going to get the good and the bad, and it's going to be prolonged. I just think he shot too much last year. Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell, ho-hum for Donovan Mitchell last night, 10 of 20, 4 of 10 from 3. I mean, that's like an average game for him. He had 24 points, never was ball hogging, got everybody into the flow of things. He was asked yesterday about the Cavs being at the top of the Eastern Conference right now.
I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. I don't really mean anything. I think the goal is just to continue to play good basketball and build good habits. It's great that we're learning these and wins, and I've said this to you before. It's always great to learn through victory. And we're just continuing to play good basketball. I think the biggest thing is just continue to build, and there are things that we can clean up, get better at. There's just a lot of little things that we can continue to build upon. We're playing good basketball. This is a test, you know, but can we consistently do it? You know, my challenge to everybody after the first quarter was like, are we going to do this for three more quarters? You know, and then now the challenge is, are we going to do it Friday? And after Friday, we're going to do it on Saturday.
Here's why I love Donovan so much, because he knows, he understands big picture too. Like last night, they get off to that great start. It is a pep rally there. The guys on the bench are exploding like it's the NBA Finals. They are losing their minds. They are laughing and having fun at the expense of the Lakers. Donovan Mitchell, you would never know it. His emotion didn't change.
That's a great fans game, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, that makes the t-shirt tosses and all that even better, right?
It had to be so much fun to be there last night.
But it doesn't change anything for the Cavs on the court, right? Like, it doesn't change the way that they approach Orlando coming into town.
I put it this way, Owen. Like, Donovan knows, hey, that's great. That's great. We're undefeated. That's great. We're showing signs of a team that, you know, can be more competitive, you know, against the best teams. And they can hold their own on any given night, certainly. But Donovan knows his legacy is going to be defined by what happens in the postseason. Like, it's almost like, all right, kids, you guys have fun. This is awesome. This is dominance, and this is we're having fun. We should have nights like this. But you notice Donovan wasn't getting carried away. Donovan knows it is a long season. You're going to have great nights. You're going to have really bad nights. Let the kids have fun. Let the fans have fun. They paid a lot of money to have fun, but in the end, this is all going to be about what happens, you know, in April, May.
Yeah, we're so far away from this.
Yeah, might as well have our fun now and discuss it now, because if I can't dissect October 30th basketball, I don't know what I'm going to do with
myself. You're blowing right past the Emirates Cup and that big in-season tournament.
They got to take it, Kenny? Should they be the favorites?
It's called the Emirates Cup
now? Yeah, they've got the Boston Celtics in their group.
I think it's
you imagine
too.
If they overtake them, the confidence that they'll play with the rest of the year.
No, the question is, do we hang a banner if we win the in-season tournament?
The Lakers did, so you damn. You're damn tooting, Kenny. They are going to hang a banner.
Rooting, tooting, damn tooting.
That's right.
You had to be careful because of what you almost said earlier.
Tell them.
Checking yourself.
Tell them what I almost said.
I'm not. No, I can't. I'd have to dump it.
Meanwhile,
so they'll never hear it.
The October fun is over for the New York Yankees.
Are you saying there was an October surprise?
You could call it that. It was how many errors? Three of them all in the same inning?
A comedy of them.
A comedy of errors. Here's one of them. Aaron Judge was trying to size up a ball. It didn't go well.
The heating up Judge, who settles under this ball, but then drops.
Whoops, it is.
Can Hernandez get to the bag before the throw? He does. On a routine play, Aaron Judge just flubs it in center field.
That was bizarre. I was watching.
Courtesy of Fox.
Yeah, courtesy of Fox. I was watching a bunch of that game. It was actually kind of entertaining. Gerrit Cole was really good. But the defense let him down.
Did you blame him for not covering first with Rizzo?
I thought he pitched well. I thought he pitched really well, gave him a chance to win, and Aaron Judge definitely let him down.
Yeah, the Judge error, then you had Rizzo / Gerrit Cole in the old argument about who should have been on first.
Yeah.
And then you had the Volpe missed throw to third base, which it was just a mess. I cannot believe the Dodgers came back and tied that in that inning and then won that game.
I mean, think about crazy. We were very close to the Yankees starting to put all this pressure back on the Dodgers and making this an awesome series that you kind of had to watch.
Yeah, they put up 11.
Yeah, right. And then that just happened, and you're like, oh, my God. Well, that's the end of the World Series. That's it, just like that. So it's over. The Yankees, we said going into the ALCS, the Yankees, they don't do the little things. They're terrible on the bases.
Yeah, that's a good point. We said that.
And they don't know how to manufacture runs. And here they are with a chance to really put pressure and make it 3-2. Total disaster. And so they lose, and they are done. And now the big question is whether or not they can keep one of their best players, which is crazy to think that the Yankees would be in a situation where we don't know if they can keep one of their best players.
I apologize to the fine people at Perkins High School and Edison High School. I can't come see you now on Friday.
The first people I thought of.
I apologize to the Pirates fans. Can't go out there and see you because there will be no Game 6. We will not see you tomorrow night.
Catch a pop fly.
Because Aaron Judge, he insists. Even when he does good things, he later insists on being the flop in the postseason.
184 was his fight. Was that the average for the World Series, or was that his average for the playoffs? It was rough. And he did have two hits last night. And finally he had a home run, but it was really, really rough. That's it for about last night.
Outstanding as always. All right, Lima. Art Modell, he's one of the finalists for the contributor for the Hall of Fame. As is tradition, we mention this. You got a different spin on this, though, because I said no I had a lot of people agree with me, obviously. I said no immediately on social media, and then there were a couple of people going, Ken, you need to let go of the hate, and I went, no.
Well, and who are those people, though?
It was just people trying to talk down to you on the internet saying, you'll be much happier when you learn to let go of the hate. I go, no, I won't. No. Mm-mm. If I learn to let go of the hate, I become a passionless person. If I let go of the hate, then I'm not going to be able to do this
job.
Well,
I will say,
if I just come in here and say everything's hunky-dory and like, nothing's a big deal. It's no big deal. Everything's fine every single day. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Some other people we know.
I'm older than you, but like I'm always fascinated that you have...
You're smarter, but you're not wiser.
You have more of a connection. You seem to care more about art than I do. I am more
emotional than you, though.
I never really think about him. I think to me, it's once you sell the team, once you move the team, it's a disqualifier. So I don't understand how much of a debate there needs to be had every year. To me, you just get up in the room and say, yeah, he moved the team. He moved the team and did it in a way that crushed Northeast Ohio, not just Northeast Ohio, Browns fans around the world.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, I think it led to a lot of lost fandom. They get lost to led to a lost generation of fans. And obviously the fact that what came after was a total disaster and a rushed stadium and a rushed team, poorly built, and we all paid the price for that. That's an easy disqualifier for the Hall of Fame to me. You could say all these great things that he did, that there are people that act like he invented this and then Monday Night Football and then TV.
Like he was Philo Farnsworth.
Microphones and cameras, and we never even dreamt of doing any of this. Maybe he was a visionary. I don't really care. Maybe he was an awesome visionary to the league, and he put a lot of money in the pockets of everyone else, apparently, but himself. Good for him. Doesn't really matter to me.
What a charitable individual.
Yeah. So I never really thought about it all that much, but then it comes up every year. And I thought there'd be a point. Aren't we past the point of, you know, what would it be where we can't consider him anymore? Like, isn't there a time where if you lose out enough, then that's it and you're done for?
Well,
a statute of limitations.
You know, I thought right after he died, when he didn't get in, I figured that would probably be it.
Because who's going to take up for him?
Yeah, and when Kenny Stabler died, then they put him in. I was actually mad about that. I'm like, oh, so you wait till the guy dies and then you put him in the Hall of Fame. Now that he's dead, because naturally we want to say nice things about somebody who's just passed. And Kenny Stabler, I never knew Kenny Stabler, but I always thought that he should have been in the Hall of Fame, and I always thought that he's a famous NFL football player. But anyway, I'm getting away from it here. When it comes to Art Modell, yeah, I feel very passionately to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. There was also something you had said where, you know what, it might actually hurt his legacy if you try to put him in the Hall of Fame, because if you put him in the Hall of Fame, you have to understand that there's an enshrinement and there's a moment there.
And it would be a disaster.
It would be a...
It would mar the event.
Out disaster.
It'd be a disaster, too, to everybody else going in that weekend.
It would make him look bad. It would dredge up terrible memories.
Yep.
It would make Browns fans look terrible, and it would put them in a position to look terrible, and you don't want to do that if you're the Hall of Fame or the voters for the Hall of Fame. I can't imagine a scenario where it wouldn't go well. Like, who represents him in the enshrinement? The only person I could think of that would even get somewhat non-booed would be Ozzie Newsome. That's it.
And yet I still think they wouldn't be booing him. But
they would say bleep Art. So if like you put it when you go to the parade, they're right there. The people are right there next to the road. Like I always mention,
it's a very intimate experience.
Yeah, the late great Bob St. Clair would walk out and give the kids candy. He would walk the parade route and hand you candy, like, and it was great. And there were other guys who did it too. So it's a unique experience it's a town of 60,000 whatever, but it's just like small town America, the whole thing. They're mostly Browns fans. I can't imagine it's going to go well. And then you have the enshrinement. What, you're going to sell tickets? People are going to go down there and boo whoever goes up there and speaks on his behalf or accepts it on his behalf because you don't give speeches posthumously or anything like that. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the Hall of Fame? Like, I'm not trying to goad anybody into acting like that. You can't watch everybody at all times. You're going to put his bust with all the other busts? I mean, they stole O.J. Simpson's. What are they going to do with this?
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to know what they're going to do to it.
Exactly. So,
because I told you off the air what they would be doing to it, and honestly, I can't say it on the air.
When it comes down to this, like, no, I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. Honestly, for reasons that don't even have to do with the NFL, I found another reason where, like, he put the screws to the Indians for years where they had to let players go. That's part of the reason that they sucked out loud for 30 years, because he was their landlord. And so there were things that he did that people didn't know that, yeah, he was I'm sure he was capable of great charity.
Yeah. He was a philanthropist.
We heard those stories, I'm sure. But man, there's just so many things. And when you move the team, you move a historical team like that, no, it takes you away from the Hall of Fame status. I don't care. And I saw Ken Wyman. I didn't even see it until Ken Wyman, our buddy over at 105.7, retweeted and like, well, he brought football back to a city that got it ripped out. I go, what do you think he did to do that? So two wrongs don't make a right in this case. I'm not asking Bob Irsay. I'm not asking for the NFL to put Bob Irsay or the voters to put Bob Irsay in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he should be in there. And I don't think that Art Modell should be in there. Now, I know that NFL franchises are worth a hell of a lot more than they used to be, and I know he sold it for a hell of a lot of money back in those days. I mean, it was still, what, $600 million or just under? That's a hell of a lot of money at that time, and now they're worth into the billions. And you could say part of the reason they're worth into the billions is because of TV deals. But when you go to Hall of Fames, I think we get to this when it comes to all owners. Like, who really roots for owners? You know, I know people who root for Brian Dawkins, who, when they put him into the Hall of Fame, shed tears. Same thing for Ed Reed. Same thing for, you can mention Ray Lewis if you even want to. Same thing for Joe. Same thing for a lot of people.
Let's just fight. Do you think anybody is going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to see the CEOs of the record labels?
Like,
nobody cares.
Like, I don't care. Like, this whole big thing about Bob Kraft and why he made the documentary to make himself look better, because he's, by the way, one of the finalists for the contributors. I'm like, guys, I don't care if he gets in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the most powerful people in the world because he's an NFL owner. Does he need to be in the Hall of Fame? I don't think he needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if any owner gets in the Hall of Fame.
How much more in the way of kudos do these billionaires need?
Yeah, like why do I need, like who's standing there? Hey, you hired Belichick. Great.
Who was it?
Okay, you got lucky you hired Belichick. Because the Jets couldn't get their head out of their ass. You were able to hire Belichick.
Who's the Atlanta Falcons owner?
Arthur Blank.
Arthur Blank that had a whole ceremony surrounded by himself in his own legends group. I'm putting myself into the legends group.
It's just odd. The league is founded by owners, but it's built on the backs of players. Like if you win a championship, yeah, they like you. But when you don't win, most owners are reviled. Like, there's some guys out there, like, I don't know. Like, you go out of the Pittsburgh, like I always say, the Rooneys, I respect them. They've done a good job of running their organization for a very long period of time. They learn from terrible mistakes that they made for 40 years, and they continue to learn from it. So at least they run a viable franchise. And I say that to anybody out in Pittsburgh. They roll their eyes at me. And I go, why? We haven't won a playoff game in a decade. Okay. Yeah, that's a fair point, which I'm not arguing to put any of those guys in the Hall of Fame either, because it's like, no, you would put... You would put Mean Joe Green in the Hall of Fame, and you would make arguments for L.C. Greenwood and all the guys in the 70s. You would make those arguments. Like, you're not – no, I don't care about the Rooneys getting in the Hall of Fame or not. And I certainly do care about Art Modell not getting in the Hall of Fame because of what happened and what this franchise hasn't been really since then and what they very well could have been. So either way. I'm done with that.
I appreciate that you're so into it because...
Well, it sounds like I'm tired of saying it because I am. Well, I'm tired of saying it all the time.
You're going to need, I guess, if he's still going to be up for this every year, you're going to need a generation of fans to work up into a lather, or if people stop caring, then I guess it would be easier for them to put him in. I just can't believe we haven't gotten to the point where... All right, his bid is finally closed. Like, eventually, there comes a day.
What's best for the Hall of Fame is him not going in. Because every year you get this, and I know the Hall of Fame doesn't need our promotion, but every year you get this. Once he goes in, this talk is dead forever. There's not another Art Modell out there.
Yeah, but like when it comes to like Pete Rose, I could much easier. And I've made my comments about Pete Rose before he died, and I stand by those comments. I don't care, but I could see why people would take umbrage with that. They rooted for Pete Rose. They saw Pete Rose on a baseball field. Yeah. They saw him break the hit record. They saw Charlie Hustle and the whole thing. They saw him play his ass off. I saw Art Modell wave to people in an owner's box, and then he moved my favorite football team. Like, no, stop it. No Hall of Fame, no nothing. You're lucky that's as far as I'll go with the comment.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.